Jake's been taking notes watching practice for the last half an hour or so.
Boy, have I ever.
So we got a couple. Yeah, a couple of things to get to. This is, like, fun for you, taking notes. Like, this isn't taking notes in, you know, biology class or something lame like that. You're out there just watching football. All right. Guys that we should get to here. You want to start with, like, Marquise Blair? You want to start with DK? Tell me how DK is looking.
DK, he looked great. I mean, you talk about wanting to see the jump from year one to year two. I believe you see that. I mean, you saw a couple times there in Skelly red zone period that they were working, and DK just being moved in a bunch of different areas, and him and Russell just have an extremely smooth connection, and you just see some of the things that they're asking DK to do, and it's a step above. It's not just, hey, run route A that you see on paper. These are intricate routes that require seeing coverage, reading leverage, and then making a decision based off of that. And him and Russell were on the same page there. So that was one thing that I was truly excited to see out there in practice. One, seeing that DK can do that and grow his game, and secondly, that the coaching staff is putting him in those positions.
How did Jamal Adams look? I'm very curious.
Well, Jamal Adams, he is a guy that brings energy. He is a guy that brings confidence. You can see it on the field. You can see how much fun that they're having out there. Quandre Diggs, Shaquille Griffin, Trey Flowers was out there instead of Quentin Dunbar. I believe they're trying to give Quentin Dunbar as much time as possible to get back into shape and ready to go with everything that he's dealt with. But Jamal Adams is the real deal. He looks the part. He plays the part. And he intercepted Russell Wilson, and they used him in kind of a buzz alignment, meaning that he wasn't jumping to the flat, but that he was sitting in the hook to curl, and he read it perfectly, and Russell tried to throw it over the top of him, and he made an athletic play to go up and high point the ball. And my favorite part was that he didn't just intercept it and make the catch really smoothly. He took it to the house. He ran from one sideline to the other and took it to the house. And just that athleticism, that playmaking ability, you can just see it very, very clearly as you watch him. You don't have to be on the field too long to notice Jamal Adams' presence.
The hook to curl, should I even ask?
No. Let's not ask yet. It's really right where the seam area is on the field. That you're trying to run four verticals. You got the two inside guys running seams.
You're
in the hook to curl area, and that's exactly where Jamal Adams was.
Sorry. Can't do this anymore.
I believe in you.
Yeah. How about the matchups, the O linemen going up against the D lineman? And by the way, speaking of O line, what's up with B.J. Finney? I heard he might have gone down and popped back up. Is he all right?
Yeah, he's okay. It looked like it was a serious injury. The trainers were attending to him, but he was able to get himself right back into action. He actually jumped right back into team, and he jumped right back into one-on-ones there for a couple reps, and he looked just fine. So I think that's positive. They're definitely counting on him to be a guy that I believe is going to be in that starting rotation, of course, but I really think that he is going to be the center of this team, and so you don't want to see a significant injury happen to him with how much he brings to the table, not just physically, but with his mental ability. And in one-on-ones, guys, it was interesting that the veterans, they didn't go hardly at all. You didn't see Mike Iupati. You didn't see Dwayne Brown. You saw a couple reps from B.J. Finney. He did fine. Damian Lewis, he had a rep against L.J. Collier and put him on the ground. So a successful rep for...
He put Collier on the ground?
He put Collier on the ground. And then Brandon Schell went a couple reps against Benson Mayoa. And Benson Mayoa looked extremely fast coming off the edge. And Schell, he had a good initial pop. He's a big guy. He had a good initial pop, but just couldn't hang with Mayoa, and so that's something to keep an eye on, as I'll keep watching it over the week. Is does he have the lateral quickness to be able to keep up with the pass rush and Brandon Schell? But Benson Mayoa had two really, really good reps against Brandon Schell there.
Sticking with this same topic, we mentioned in our last segment that we were seeing some tweets on our timelines that Jordan Brooks, the Seahawks first-round pick, rookie, was not in pads and not practicing. I promise listeners I would ask you about it. So obviously, we don't know definitively what's wrong with him. You didn't get out there put hands on him, check him out. But how did he look from your point of view?
Well, just from my point of view, just him standing on the sideline, you can just see the difference in what a linebacker is typically supposed to look like. Cody Barton is a guy who he has to work extremely hard to put the weight on that he has. He's fast, he's smart, runs sideline to sideline, but he isn't built with stopping power. When you look at Jordan Brooks and Bobby Wagner, they are built kind of from the same cloth, and that is one of the reasons why they drafted him. But he has, you could just tell from his legs, you know, on through his posterior chain there, Tom, that he just has unbelievable stopping power. And I can't wait to see him actually running around in pads because, you know, the team speed already looks really good.
Were you able to see like a wrap or anything on his leg or arm? Or, I mean, did you see anything?
No, there wasn't anything significant going on, you know, so it doesn't look like it's too serious.
Okay.
You know, I just speculating, which I don't like to do, I would think that it's low grade soft tissue, just, you know, something minor that they want to keep him out for a day, because usually you do see some sort of wrap, you do see something if it's any prolonged period of time.
Why did you said posterior chain? You mean that thing that, like, the chain that attaches to your wallet? Like, what are you talking about?
No, the posterior chain, Tom. You know, you're talking about your hamstrings to your glutes and how they fire together and the strength and the power that comes from that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
I've never heard that before.
Yeah, you throw dichotomy at me today, and so I'm going to throw a little posterior at you.
Oh, God. I wonder which one's actually harder to understand. Well, that's good to know for him. How about Marquise Blair?
Marquise Blair, I mean, there's a lot of talk and conversation. Can he make this transition? Can he do this? Can he do that? And Marquise Blair really didn't, you know, he talked to the media and he gave very short answers, and he talked about the reality of that, hey, this is something that he hasn't done before. There are things that he's going to learn, and understandably so. Sometimes as media, we walk out with that and say, hey, this guy's never played the position. He's saying that he's got a lot to learn. Pete Carroll has said he's got a lot to learn. And so there's reason for concern there. Well, I just watched practice today, and I don't see any concern with Marquise Blair playing the nickel position. I think that it's a natural fit for him, for his aggression, for his style, and he looked great, particularly in matchup situations. He did a lot of that in Utah. He played a lot of cover one, played a lot of cover three match. And so that's exactly what the Seahawks are going to be asking him to do, as well as the zone drop stuff. And then that's the area that I think he needs to continue to get better at and understand how offenses are trying to attack him. But from what I watched today, Marquise Blair looks excellent at that nickel corner position, which I think should be very, very exciting.
Now, I don't quite know how to ask this question or phrase it, but we all know each other well enough that I feel like you're going to know what I'm asking here. Was there just kind of a vibe on either sense of the ball or from camp as a whole that you got today that made you feel pretty good about this team?
Juice.
Yeah.
Were you seeing the juice?
Was I seeing the juice? Was I feeling the juice? Yeah, I was. I mean, especially from the defensive side of the ball. Now, I'm not going to say it was the most electric practice that I've ever seen, but in terms of the intensity level, how everybody was engaged, it was there, absolutely. And guys are jumping around. You know, Jamal Adams at one point when a ball was knocked down in the red zone, he picked up the ball. He wasn't even the guy that was covering the player. He picked up the ball and threw it sky high in the air, just excited, you know, high-fiving everybody. And so there is an intensity level that you love to see out there at practice. And so, yeah, I think the juice was absolutely there, Stacey and Tom, to the way that everybody would like it to be.
I have a feeling like there's going to come a point this year where we're going to look back and say, oh, my God, what if they didn't trade for Jamal Adams? Like, I think he's going to be that good. And to imagine life without him on the defense, like, it's something that you're probably not going to want to do. But for all the debate we had about whether or not they should have traded away those picks for him, and I wasn't really somebody who was in favor of it initially, I think that this is going to work out extremely well for them. What about your guy Russell Wilson? Life normal for him out there?
Yeah, life's pretty normal. I mean, outside of the interception that he threw to Jamal Adams, He looked great out there, throwing, you know, ripping shots, you know, in the red zone. Just looks really in command and comfortable out there with everything that is going on. Had a really good touchdown throw to Greg Olsen, which was really fun to see. You know, that relationship, as I've said before, is going to be very key for this offense. If that relationship can continue to grow and there can be great chemistry, it is going to be a nightmare matchup problem for defenses trying to contain Greg, DK, Tyler, and Philip Dorsett, who I think really looks smooth out there. And one more thing before we move on, the running back group, this is a good-looking group. Chris Carson got back out there today, which was great to see after he spent some time off having to deal with family issues. He looked great. Carlos Hyde is a big body, you know, very physically put together, like Chris Carson. Not as chiseled, but runs with purpose. Saw a great run from Travis Homer today. I mean, there's just a lot of things, you know, from an offensive standpoint. This group looks loaded and ready to go.
Could you tell he wasn't chiseled? Was he walking around without a shirt on?
He had a lot. He had sweatpants and a sweatshirt underneath, which I have in this heat, Tom. I have no idea how you do that. But after spending a year in Houston, Texas, maybe this just feels like you know, easy breezy out here. But yeah, couldn't really That's get true. A good gauge. But he's a big dude at 230 pounds.
All right, I know you know your bodies. You and Brock, the two of you together.
The body show. We've got to make a new intro for them.
It's how you got to evaluate, man.
Just, you're going to have an entire 15-minute segment on calves. Brock.
Some of them jump out at you more than others, I'll tell you that. Before we move on to NFL headlines, what might we be looking for tomorrow? And by the way, Stacey and I talked about, Jordan Brooks, who was not in pads today. Yeah, you got any intel on him, or is that something we'll probably learn more about later today or tomorrow?
Yeah, as Stacey mentioned earlier, you know, he didn't have a leg wrap or anything on him like that, so I don't think it's going to be a serious thing. I think they're just trying to take care of him over the next day or two, so we'll see if he's out there tomorrow. The other thing that I'll definitely be keeping a close eye on, and that I saw good signs, Bruce Irvin was wreaking havoc out there in you know, team drills, things of that nature. But watching LJ Collier, watching Rasheem Green, watching those two guys and seeing how they're developing and how they're coming together against the number ones, I think that those are two important guys that we have to continue to keep monitoring.